From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns continues to draw vital spiritual lessons from the lives of three judges, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon, recorded in Judges 12. In spite of the brevity of the accounts, the comments on each man teach us a number of important truths. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been highlighting seven vital areas, the first of which was the need to learn the proper use of God-given opportunity. Next, that we need to see ministers as being God's greatest gift to a nation. Then we learn how necessary it is that every area of our lives be brought under the rule of God. Another emphasis is the importance of family life in the work and service of God. Also, we need to understand the sovereignty of God in all affairs of life. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message called Minor Men with a Major Message. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Spurgeon's Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional thought for today is entitled, Over Jordan with Singing. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. That arch enemy, the devil, is a liar from the beginning. But he is so very plausible that, like Mother Eve, we are led to believe him. Yet in our experience we shall prove him a liar. He says that we shall fall from grace, dishonor our profession, and perish with the doom of apostates. But trusting in the Lord Jesus, we shall hold on our way and prove that Jesus loses none whom his Father gave him. He tells us that our bread will fail and that we shall starve with our children. Yet the feeder of the ravens has not forgotten us yet, and he will never do so, but will prepare us a table in the presence of our enemies. He whispers that the Lord will not deliver us out of the trial which is looming in the distance, and he threatens that the last ounce will break the camel's back. What a liar he is! For the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Let him deliver him now, cries the false fiend. But the Lord will silence him by coming to our rescue. He takes great delight in telling us that death will prove too much for us. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? But there also he shall prove a liar unto us, and we shall pass through the river, singing psalms of glory.
Sing glory to the newborn King. He saw the
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we thank you for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email or by regular mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week. As you gather with family and friends to observe this Christmas season, we hope you will keep Christ at the center of your festivities. From all of us at the ministry of Let the Bible Speak, we wish for you and yours a most blessed Christmas. Now, with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
We sin by trivializing the things of God. We sin by ignoring the Word of God. We sin very often like Eli's sons. By our wickedness, our compromise with the world, Eli's sons were fornicators and adulterers. But James the apostle, he says when he's writing to the Christians of his day, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is spiritual adultery and it's enmity with God?" And when you bring the world into the holy place, into the church, and when you bring the church into the world, and when you destroy the altar of prayer, and when you knock down the judgment seat of the Word of God in your life, then you are dealing with the sins of the tabernacle, the sins of the holy place. These are particularly dangerous. We need every area of our lives to be brought under the rule of the Word of God. The fourth lesson we can learn from these men, maybe I should say the fourth of random thoughts, would be the importance of family life in the service and worship of God. You'll notice that Ibzan and Abdon both have references to their homes. Ibzan, with his 30 sons and 30 daughters. Abdon, with his 40 sons and 30 grandsons that rode in the 70 ass colts. Elon is not noted as having any sons or daughters. But you'll notice that at least in two of these, there's an emphasis on the family, an emphasis on the home. I think that when you read these details, there is, first of all, implicit that these were important families. They were undoubtedly important families. And God must have made that known to the people in such a way that these men were elevated to the judgeship. They were unlike Gideon and Jephthah and Othniel and Shamgar and Ehud, men who rose to eminence by military might. These men didn't have anything of that nature to single them out. There must have been something that the Lord did or said to indicate that these were the men. And I think that undoubtedly in two of these cases, there is a hint that they were important in their families. The importance of family life. But I think with all that there is a hint of the weakness in their family life, even in the best of homes. You see, when you're talking about 30 sons and 30 daughters and 40 sons, you're talking about polygamy. Multiple wives. And while that was tolerated, it was undoubtedly a seed of decay in the whole social and religious structure of Israel. Also, there seems to have been an undue emphasis upon wealth and worldly position. These are judges who, like Gideon before them, seem to be emulating something of the kingly aspect of the rulers of the nations around about them. That again was a weakness. Now we can learn from both the strength and the weakness of these men. There is an importance on family life. I think that sometimes in our emphasis as evangelicals and fundamentalists, in our emphasis upon individual salvation, and that's an emphasis that we ought never to lose, by the way. Sometimes in that emphasis we overlook the value and the virtue and the strength and the God-given place of honor of a Christian family. Yes, children of saved parents need to be saved, but Christian families are special families. Your home ought to be the greatest representation of heaven on earth. That's what it's supposed to be. The relationship of husband and wife is to be God's sermon to the world of the relationship of Christ and his church. The care of mother and father for the little ones is to be the greatest sermon of God's care for his people. The Christian home is to be like heaven on earth. When Paul was talking of the Christian husband and likening him to Christ, he gives a statement that is knitting them both together so much that commentators have been arguing ever since. Is he speaking of the husband or is he speaking of Christ? He says, he is the Savior of the body. Is that a statement of Christ saving his body, the church? Sure it is. But is it a statement of a Christ-like husband and his attitude to his wife? Sure it is. Christian home. My, how we ought to be on our guard about the weaknesses in the best of homes. Be on our guard lest the devil get advantage of us. And he begin to plant seeds of bitterness. I've seen this happen, you know, where Christians have stood together, husband and wife, shoulder to shoulder in the deep, dark places of life, in the stern conflicts of life. They have stood shoulder to shoulder. They have lived together. They have walked together. They have talked together. They have prayed together. And they have been blessed together. And then years go by and they begin to drift apart. And they have less and less time for each other. And they begin to talk less, pray less, think less on the same lines. And before you know it, you've got a man and a woman. More than a husband and a wife. And certainly you've got something that is not a picture of Christ and His church. The importance of family life. Guard it jealously. Guard it jealously. Don't fall for the overemphasis on worldly position or worldly possessions. Remember this. If you make it to the top financially and socially, you stand at an open grave and see your children buried and see they've gone to hell. And not but much sweetness in the possessions that you've gained. How often it has been said it's become trite. But very often things become trite simply because they're true. But the only thing you can take from this world to heaven is your family. It's the only thing you possess that you can take with you. The importance of family life. We learn also the sovereignty of God in all our affairs. Ibzan had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Do you remember Jephthah? He had just one daughter, nothing else. Elon, according to the record at least, had none. Whereas Abdon had 40 sons. Yet they all served the same Lord. They were all raised up of the same God. They were all appointed a place in God's service. They were all given a particular thing to do in their day for God. The sovereignty of God in all our affairs. Not just in the children you have, in the position you have, in what we call the success you have. God has never sent us out to be successful. What He has sent us out to do is to serve with faithfulness. And why we are not to make the sovereignty of God an excuse for laziness or sin, nonetheless, we are to resign our lives to the sovereign will of God. I quoted this example before, but I'll quote it again because it makes the very point that I'm making. I heard an interview with Bob Jones III immediately after the Supreme Court finding against his school. And in answer to an oft-asked question about coming to terms and doing this and the other thing to get around the problems, his statement was, "The question is not how long can we exist. That doesn't matter. The question is, will we be faithful to God? That does matter." That puts it very well. Doesn't matter about anything else If I am doing the will of God, obeying the word of God, seeking the glory of God, and preaching the Christ of God, then let the Lord in his sovereignty dispense to me what he will. Let him with his hand give or take away whatever he will. We need to learn the absolute sovereignty of God in our lives and service. There's many a man whose life would have to be deemed a failure if you take what he wanted to achieve by what he did achieve. You take two startling examples from American history. David Brainerd died, just a young man. He hadn't seen much, really, much done among the Indians. Certainly not what his holy soul longed for. He had never seen the revival spread that he prayed would spread. God took him. Now at the same time they were living in America, drunken, swearing, vicious, godless rascals, and God let them live out their days. And yet in the prime of youth, he took the holiest of young men in this entire nation. But he did right. He did it right. He knew what he was doing. You take Jonathan Edwards. Even by the estimation of many worldly scholars, probably the greatest philosophical intellect America has ever produced. A wasted life, as far as the world goes. I think that becomes clear when you read what the Yale scholars who are reproducing all his works have to say. They refer condescendingly, really, to his religious work. To see this great intellect bending all its forces to preach revival messages in New England, and then to be thrown out of the church and to choose to go to a remote Indian tribe to bury himself in the forests. Seems a waste. And then when he was coming into his own just to take over the president's position of the college, to be snuffed out before he could actually begin his work. It seemed a total waste, but no, it wasn't. There's a sovereign hand of an all-wise God directing the affairs of his people. It'll do you and me a lot of good if we can simply say, my times are in thy hand. My affairs are in thy hand. Give me much or give me little. Let me live long or let me be cut off early. Whatever the will of God may be and whatever the glory of God may be. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. If we can learn to live actively under the sovereign control of God. Seems strange to say you live actively under God's control, but I mean that. We live productively and happily.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.